You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would. Oh, perhaps over to Exodus and chapter 19. And taking and adding to what we shared last time, so with that background for those who have it, well, let me just add to that. And Israel, as you know, of all the people and all the nations, God had chose Abraham, and out of Abraham comes the nation of Israel. And Israel is made the top, the instrument, the vessel for God to show light and life to all of the nations, which he died for. And picking up in chapter 19, just to remind you, you know these things, but just to pick up the grandeur of it, because you can lose it. Verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar, special, prized, personal treasure unto me. Above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Israel was given a position, a privilege that is unearthly. It isn't earthly. It's beyond earth, beyond heaven even, that God would do this. Now, having said that, Israel, what do they do with their position? Over to 1 Samuel and chapter 8. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, you recall Joshua and then all of the judges, Samuel being the last judge. And in the process, Israel was declining in their attitude and their relationship to God. So when we come to chapter 8, Israel is telling Samuel, who's about to step off the scene, that, as you would know, verse 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came unto Samuel, unto Ramah. And he said unto them, behold, thou art old, thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. And of course, the rejection wasn't of Samuel, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. Hear what they're saying. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So they wanted to be like the other nations. Sliding over to verse 18. And to Samuel, you shall cry out in that day because of your king. In other words, when they get a king, they're going to be sorry. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They said, nay, but we will have a king over us, verse 20, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Now, having said that, and you know, they had all those kings in the north, and then the northern 10 tribes went into captivity, and all the kings in the south, and then all the kings in the south, and then they went into the Babylonian captivity, which we're looking at Jeremiah. So therefore, Therefore, looking and thinking and understanding in the place, God has a wonderful place without taking time to do that. In Deuteronomy 12, in that, he told them in the land that he would give them, promised land, his specific place. We're told that elsewhere, that of all the places on the earth before Israel is even there, God says that I have a special place for my people, and that is Palestine. So therefore, in that place, special place, they had a special position and an awesome, awesome, wonderful relationship to God, a special prize, privilege, personal relationship to God. And they were to be his treasure. And they were to be in the city, Jerusalem, in the temple in the city of Jerusalem, as the tabernacle, so the temple. And in that place, no other place, no other city, no other place in all of history, all of world history, will there be another place. Jerusalem and the temple, that's God's place. And we shared all of those wonderful things together. And there was no place else. There just isn't any place else. So what the point we looked at. So God, we can go over here, we can go over there, we can do this, we can do that. Can we? No, it's God's will and God's way and where God works. So we can't decide to build a temple over in Moscow. We can't build a temple in New York City. We can't do that. There's only one place. And when the temple goes down, which it did, and it will and it did, there is no other place to put the temple except that place. That's the only place there is. So now, having said that and keeping that, so the only place there is, so in God's will for our life, why can't I do this and why can't I do that? Well, what's wrong with it? Well, is it God's will? But God has many variety. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He has great variety in whether you eat and drink and all of that, normal living. But in his will for your life, only one. There's not 10 of them. So why can't I do this and can I do that? Because it isn't in God's will. People do it and they miss whatever they do, obviously. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, there's no place for the benefits, for the blessings, and all of it is, what do you require for Israel? They need to believe in God's will, in God's place. It's his place, it's his land, it's their place. They need to be in God's place, as we shared. And the process of being in God's place, what God requires, believing. And therefore, and we shared together that Israel's problem was that they were in God's place, but they claimed it as their place on their terms. And God was totally left out of the whole thing. And therefore, they had problems, to say the least, ultimately, the ruin of the temple. So now, having said that, and among other nations, that to be a testimony, but they aren't going to be a testimony. Why? Because they want to be just like them. They want to be just like the nations. As we believe, as we want to fit in, we want to fit into the style of everything out there. We want to do that. We want to do that. That's what we want to do, to fit in. They wanted to fit in. And therefore, being like the world, wanting to do that, which they did, therefore, they were like the world. And if you were to look at Israel, you would see hardly any difference between them and the Jebusites, the Hivites, or anyone else. Because they had their idolatry, they had everything going, and they did what they did in an awesome way. So therefore, in a way that was wrong. So therefore, having said that, and looking at all of that, so God, here we are looking,
And we shared that. And Israel's there they are today. And we went through Revelation and into the new heavens and new earth and all of that. And Israel's where it is today. But just like any other nation, struggling, they have no temple, no sacrifice, no relationship to God of any substance compared to someone else. They should have, but they don't. They don't. They got nothing. That's what they got. So the church comes along in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. And God in Christ, so let me start back there, our Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Is God in the flesh. That's the whole point of the New Testament. You have to understand Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, in his perfect humanity, united to his perfect deity. Now, having said that, so in this unique place, our Lord Jesus Christ as God in the flesh, where was God's place? It was in Christ. Where is God's place? In Christ. Now, forever. Forever, it's in Christ. That's where God's place is. Jerusalem is here, temple, that's earthly. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God has his place in the Son of God in a most perfect way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and what did they do? What did they do? They went, and Israel rejected Christ and crucified him. And so the nations, Rome and all of that, they crucified him. And God was demonstrating his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth, John 1:14. So therefore, over if you would please, in John 1:14 for a minute. And you will note, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know it, verse 14, he is full of grace and truth. Okay. And then, and when he was rejected, God was going to show the only sign, as you know, as the prophet Jonah, and he's going to show his resurrection, as we shared on Sunday. Now, so therefore, when we come to verse 16, God is going to show his grace in a most wonderful way. And God has taken believers, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become sons, children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Sliding up to the verb, verse 16, and of his fullness, when we receive the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. Of his fullness have all we received, there's your little verb, and grace for grace in place of grace, and one wave of the ocean after another, endless. Wave after wave of grace coming from Christ. So he's going to demonstrate, God's going to demonstrate his wonderful, wonderful grace. Remember, God's place is in Christ forever. Now, so therefore, when we go, doing this a little different, go over with me to 2 Chronicles, better. Second Chronicles, and I may be... picking up if I can, and I did. If you subtract 1 from 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, you come to 2 Corinthians minus 1 is 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians. And I want to hit the target. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And you would remember, in God's wonderful grace, the believing heart. Verse 20, and again the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, we don't need to get into the flesh and everything else we're trying to get by with. Verse 21, therefore, let no man glory in men, in any human, in any way. For the reason, for all things are yours in your unique relationship to God. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's Peter, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. So you aren't deficient in anything. Everything that is there in God's wonderful creation is at your disposal in God. How is it at your disposal? Verse 23. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Christ is God's. That's his place. That's God's place in there. So Israel has a wonderful place. They aren't in it. They will be. And at the end of the tribulation, they're going to be. But they aren't in it now. So here we are, and the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected and crucified. The only thing he's going to do now, till he comes, tribulation, etc., is to show his grace. John chapter 1, verse 16. Grace upon grace, that's what it's going to do. He's going to demonstrate grace. All of God, nothing of the flesh. That's what he's going to do. His wonderful saving grace. Now, having said that, how does that translate out for us in a very wonderful way that you know, but let's do it. Over, if you would please, in the light of that relationship we have to Christ, or whosoever that's believing, over, if you would please, to 2 Corinthians, you aren't far away. And in 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 5, and you will notice, verse 17, directly, and for the light of everything, therefore, if any man, boy or girl, man or woman, be where? In Christ. He is a new creature, creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, where is the believing heart, the believer, the whosoever that believes, that receives Christ as a Savior? Where are they? Well, in verse 17, they are in Christ. In Christ, that's where they are. Where is the believer? In Christ. Mary can do that with the cups, it's easy. Christ, I should say. God, and where's Christ? In God. And where's the believer? In Christ, in God. That's where they are. Pretty simple. It's where, so simple, it's real. It's where it is. It's where it is. So now, having said that, now where's our place? Here we are sitting here on the prayer meeting. What are we doing? Where's our place? Well, Israel has a land, a city, a Jerusalem, but they aren't in it, and they don't enjoy it. They don't have any of the benefits at this point. They will, but they don't. So here's the church, and the church wants to be like the world, to fit in in every way, shape, or form, to be like them. Now, in the process, but the believer, that isn't God's will. God's will is to be a living sacrifice, and we're to be looking to God for God to be conformed to the image of his Son. So where's our place? Well, our place is in Christ. That's where our place is. Their place is in Jerusalem. That's where God's going to be, and the temple. But that isn't our place. Why? Because it wasn't Christ's place. Christ's place was to be in God, is to be in God. Where are you if you're saved? In Christ. And therefore you have to be the same place he is, because you're in Christ. And therefore, our wonderful, wonderful position, where is our place? Our place is in Christ. That's where we're new creatures, in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, you got that part, in Christ. Now, God, all kinds of ways, it's going to come out to walk it in. Over to Galatians. You aren't far away from Galatians. In Galatians in chapter 2. And that wonderful, wonderful truth for the believing heart. Verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 20. 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by or in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So where is the believer's place? In Christ. That's where it is. In Christ. In Christ. That's the believer's place. We aren't in the world like that. No, we're in the world physically like that. Our location is a privileged place. Israel had such a supreme position as a nation, and they will have it again, but they never took it. The church is given the wonderful privilege of being located in Christ. So where do you find the believing heart, whosoever? You will find the believing heart, the real believing heart, in Christ. That's where you find it. That's where they are. You have to lock that in, because we can say that. It's easy to say it. Mumble it out, sure you can. But the reality of that, that's different. That's different. Now, so therefore, having said that, do it again. Over to Colossians, just a little further along. And in Colossians in chapter 1, you will please note, secondly, not only are you in Christ in God, that's where you're located. So watch, in order to get to you, they'd have to get to Christ. To get to Christ, they'd have to get to God. So that's why God said you're protected. You're a new creature in me. So that's where you're located. Even though we're sitting here with all the ups and downs and ins and outs, that's what we are. But that's where we're located, in this marvelous, marvelous place, located in Christ. And that's where we are. Where's our place? It isn't in Jerusalem. It isn't in your house. It isn't in your job. You're in this body, but the body is bought with a price. And you're located in Christ. Now, Colossians 1 and verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, what is this unique, strange, awesome thing that God is doing? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, we'll do it again. Here you are, and where's his place in you? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So where are you located? Where's he located in you? That's where he's located. They say, well, I don't know. I know that. Otherwise, we'd be quite different. But it's where it is, in Christ. We're located. You want to know where we are? We didn't even take time to look at it in Jeremiah 29. In this place, everything has to get back to this place for Israel to have anything. They can't have it till they're back in this place. In our place, we can't get out of it. Because when you got saved and received him as your Savior, he put you in his wonderful person. and he put his wonderful person in you. And that's what happened if you got saved. Otherwise, you didn't get saved. So, Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Ephesians, right next door. And you will remember, in this wonderful place, God, what are you doing? God is in his wonderful place. The place is his place. And more than what we just looked at, adding to it. I'm going to say all of that another way. That's all the same thing. Ephesians chapter 1, God saves us and places us and makes us new creatures, etc., in Christ Jesus. Sliding over, and he gives us a unique relationship. Where are we located? Well, in God, in Christ, that's true. Now, God, how are you going to say it to us so we can't miss it? Verse 22, chapter 1, Ephesians. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, verse 23, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The head completes the body completes the head. A whole body, a whole person, as it were. That's a wonderful thing. Where are you located? In Christ, in God. Where's he located? In the heart of the believer. That's his place in your heart, if you're saved. And where are you located? In the body. In the body. In the whose body? His body. His body. All the believers belong in the body. One unit. One unique body. All belonging together. All the parts neatly fitted together in a most wonderful way. In the body. Just like all the parts of you physically are in your body, so all the believers are in Christ's body. Now, that's an awesome thing. Now, so far, our location makes Israel's location look rather small, doesn't it? That to be the best nation in the world. But the believing heart is placed in Christ, in God. And where are they located? Straightway in the Lord, who's the boss of the temple. Wow. Therefore, chapter 2 of Ephesians, and chapter 2. And you will note, may go to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together, where? In heavenly places, where? In Christ. How can I ever be in heaven? In Christ, in heaven. That's why you can be in heaven, because he's in heaven. He's the God of heaven. That's what he is. So therefore, heavenly places in Christ. Reason, we started with it. Verse 7, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He has us seated there in this most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful position. So here we are seated in heavenly places. And in being seated in heavenly places, now that, you got that? That's pretty easy. Where are you located? Say it another way. Where are you located? Over to 1 Corinthians. Oh, do it to 2 Corinthians. Well, 1 Corinthians is all right. 1 Corinthians. And in chapter 3. And the church, the local assembly in Corinth. Local assembly in Corinth. Verse 16, know ye not that you are, present tense, you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So, adding to the list, all coming together in one person, our Lord Jesus Christ, we are his temple. And the Spirit of God is going to demonstrate his marvelous person, like we shared on Sunday, in a most awesome way. We are his witnesses, uniquely, wonderfully his witnesses. Now, having said that, and we're the temple of the living God, back over to 2 Corinthians. And on 2 Corinthians, you can pick it up. I'll even add to that. I'll go to church, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians in chapter 2. And you will pick up, please, verse 14, 2 and 14. You know it. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor, the fragrance of his knowledge by us, where we're the way agency to do it, in every place. So you see, we have a unique position to show forth God's wonderful place. So when you go to work, school, home, bed, easy, hard, much, little, your body is his temple, and God is going to demonstrate his wonderful person and your unique relationship to him as his body. Where's your place? Israel's place? Jerusalem? The temple. Where's our place in this age of grace? It's in his wonderful life, in his wonderful person. And we're to show that. That's what to do. It isn't a trick. It isn't a gymnastic. You need to have IQ of some power. No, you just have to understand. It's a unique relationship we're to have. And in spite of all the earthliness and humanness and frailty, but God's place is there. Vessels, frail, faulty vessels, indeed. But the reason they're wonderful, wonderful, while you're here, I might as well read it. Chapter 4. And verse 7. 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? Vessels of clay. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So it isn't anything. It's the one who resides. It's the one where we're resident. It's one where we're located. Back over to chapter 13. And in chapter 13, if I may, picking up, as you know, Paul, in closing, God has a special word for the Corinthians. And you remember, we did it the other day, verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we are weak, also weak in him, but we're vessels of clay. We shall live with him by the power of God. It isn't our vessel of clay, it's the power of God in us, the believing God's place, God's home. Therefore, in the light of all of these little thoughts, examine yourself, verse 5, whether you be in the faith, prove, put yourself to the test. Know ye not yourselves, what? How that Jesus Christ is in you. In Christ, in God, in you. Except you be reprobates, unapproved, counterfeit. You aren't real. You aren't real. Why? Because I just showed you and reminded you in five other ways. That's why you're in Christ. You have to understand that. Otherwise, we play the game out here. So I want to understand that. And God, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to make it wonderfully possible. Over to Jeremiah for a minute. Jeremiah and chapter 29. And you will note, picking up if I can, going to verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I'm going to read the end of verse 10. Babylon, middle of the verse. Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. And we looked at all those different things. This place, this place, this place. For I know the thoughts, verse 11, that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then, when you're in this place, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you in this place. Now, God, what are you going to do? You're going to put them in the tribulation. In Revelation, you're going to know, chapter 12, the devil's going to be booted out of heaven, etc. You can't go there anymore. And Israel is going to run. That's when the image of the temple was set up and all that. And Israel's going to run and hide, and Petra and all of those things, run away, because they're going to be hunted down, Israel is. God said in that day, you'll seek me. You'll seek me then, in that day. When all of that happens, you'll start remembering what I told you, and you'll look for me. When all that happens, because I'm going to bring you back. And then, of course, the tribulation, the second coming, and all of that. So now, having said that, and I'm going to help you to pray in that place. Now, God, for us, here we are. So God, here we are in the place. We're there. Now they're going to have to get in the place to pray. What place? Where you are. Not in their place. They can. We already did it all in 1 Kings 8 and that. It's true. God made coverage for them as they're scattered all over the world. If they look to Jerusalem and pray in that direction, understanding that's God's place, then God would hear their prayer if they did that. If they did that, wherever they are, Russia, China, wouldn't make any difference. When they do that, God would hear their prayer. But for us in this age of grace, what about us? Well, what are we going to do? We'll pray. Yeah, we do. We're going to come boldly under the throne of grace. You know, Hebrews. You might as well turn there just to keep you a little more awake. Hebrew, make your Bible work. Hebrews 4. And you will note, please, verse 16 directly. Let us therefore come boldly, fear, without fear, fearlessly, freely, frankly, boldly, under the throne of grace. That's right. That's what we're doing. How can we come to the throne of grace? Why are we coming? Because we're in Christ. That's our location. We're seated at the throne of grace in Christ Jesus. So therefore, we have access straightway, all the time. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, reason, that we may obtain mercy, find mercy, mercy as it were, and mercy, and find, discover grace to help in time of need. Now, God, what are we going to do? Well, we're vessels of grace. We're demonstrating grace. That's what we're doing. So that's what we're looking for, God, to be God, outworking his will in this body, which is his body. We're bought with a price. And he's going to outwork his will in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And as he outworks his will, he's going to do his good will. And we have a super access, Hebrews chapter 10. Remember, the priest could only go in once a year into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle of the temple. But what about us? Well, we come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, we don't get waylaid anywhere less than that. We come straightway, boldly, without fear, frankly, quickly. Having therefore brethren, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He went and died and gave us a unique relationship to himself. We received him as our Savior. What can we do? How close, God? We can't get closer. Closer I cannot be. Nearer I cannot be. I can't be. I'm in God's place. The believing heart is in God's place. And they look to God to help them in every way, to honor his wonderful person. And we have holiest of all. So we don't have any intermediary. No, straightway. That's why the Spirit of God says to us, Abba, Father. Father, I don't go. Where, who else? My Father. God is my Father in a unique and wonderful way. And so therefore, God, that's an awesome thing. Now, having said that, two things I think would help. Over to Psalm 81. And in Psalm 81, you'd recall, Israel, if they would have taken advantage of it, which they didn't, picking up, please, in Psalm 81 and verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. Remember, we just read it in Deuteronomy 29. You come in my place, I'll hear you. What is wonderful, they heard Israel, God, Israel heard God at Mount Sinai, then they lost it. They could have had more, but they didn't. God said, now if you get it back to where you should be, and you look to me, I'll be hearing you. I'm hearing you before you ever speak, like Isaiah. I hear you. Wow. Now God, so here's Psalm 81. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. For there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. For I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now just think of that. God said, I'll hear you. You ask whatever you will. So you're going to be in the place for God to meet the need. Israel, if they're in the place, be in God's place, like the little birdie in the right nest with the right mommy and daddy, the little birdie is going to have everything taken care of. The little birdie doesn't worry about the weather, doesn't worry about the food, doesn't worry about its future. The little birdie just sits there and does its thing and opens its mouth when it's time to eat. And the bird mother feeds it. Now, that's wonderful. Now, God, you'd take care of Israel like that. I would. That's pretty awesome. They're special. Special people. But, verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. And you don't want to have to be, I'm going to do my own thing in my own way. Okay, why can't I do my own thing in my own way? I have a right to do that. Sure you do. But if you're in the body, you don't. Therefore, I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. That's what happened to Israel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Well, if they'd been in God's place, they would have had all of that and been doing it. But they didn't want to be in God's place, in God's way. Verse 14. I should have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto them, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, with the honey out of the rock, would I have satisfied thee. Now, God, God isn't chintzy. God doesn't do things cheaply or limitedly. He does things, multiplies. He is super duper generous. He's wonderful in his grace. Why can he do that? Because it's grace. It isn't we earned it. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. We don't deserve it. God just does it. And since God's doing it because he wants to do it, he's free to give you 7 zillion good things. No problem. Because it isn't based on you or me. It's based on him. Grace. There's a big deal. Grace. We live by grace. We walk by grace. We're saved by grace. Now, so therefore, and I would have satisfied them with honey out of the rock, etc. I would have given them everything, all they needed. Luxury, not just bread, but honey to go with it. I'd do all of that for them if they wanted it, but they didn't want it. That's the sad part. They didn't want to be special. Most believers don't want to be special. They like being ordinary. And that's what they get. What do you end up getting, God? Here you got 12 apostles. You end up with 3 that are special. 3 of them are special. And you got, here's a host of believers. And then you got a little group that's special. What about the rest of them in the body? They didn't want to be special. They don't want to be special. They don't want to be, have their, where's your place in Christ? That's where I am. That's where I belong. Now, in closing, over if you would, please, to 1 John. That's a wonderful thing. Open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. And here you know, chapter 1 John chapter 5, may I pick up, please, may I go directly to verse 14. This is the confidence, bold, free, frank, we surety that we have, certainty, that we have in him. What do we have so confidently in him? That we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now please note, it doesn't say our will, it says his will. It doesn't say what we want, that's what they wanted. They wanted the temple on their terms, no good. We want his will for my life. You say, I don't want it. I want what I want. You want his will in the body, that's special. If I want his will, he hears me. Why? Because I'm located where? In him, in Christ, Christ in me, and I have his will. That's what God wants. I'm for his will. And, verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, and he does, whatsoever we ask in his will, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's what we know. No, God's will. No matter how we look at it, I want God's will. And God has to outwork his will in a most wonderful way. It may look horrible from our standpoint. It may look like God isn't even there. But wrong. We're wrong. We're wrong. Like the doctor. The doctor can see the terrible problems. But the doctor knows the answer. And the doctor is there to make it work. That's what he's there to do. God, there you are to make it work. And that's the main thing. So how are we going to go? We're going to look to the doctor. And if the doctor's looking okay and smiling and busy, I'm going to be smiling and busy. Even though I hurt something awful, I'm going to thank him to get me through it, no matter what, for his glory. It's a small, like 2 Corinthians 4, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Wow. That's what we're going to do. Because you see, his place is my place, and my place is his place. He belongs in my heart, and I belong in his body. I'm seated, all the while I'm standing on planet Earth. I'm seated in heavenly places. That's my place. That's your place if you're saved. Wow. Well.